Hey folks, welcome everybody. Susan Baracco, welcome to our call. I am so happy to have you folks here today. We're going to wait just another minute or two to give other folks a chance to join us. But I see Holly is here. Thanks for joining us. And Thomas, welcome. I know you folks are fairly new to the program, so welcome. Glad to have you here on the call today. And while we're waiting for other folks to join us, we always start with a fun question. And so if you would please type into the chat and let us know, answer the question. This is just to get to know each other a little bit. And also to just confirm that you can hear me well. Hopefully my voice is coming through. All right, so we've got a few more folks coming on here. Jim, welcome. Another newbie, another new person to the B2B Launcher program. Welcome. And Melanie is here as well. Glad you guys are here. And Thomas, thank you for responding. Appreciate that. Every once in a while, my headset likes to act up and not cooperate. So sometimes people can't hear me very well, but thanks for letting me know. Question for today that we're going to get started with, what was your favorite childhood summer activity? Melanie, thanks for letting me know. Appreciate that. When I was growing up, we had a giant above ground swimming pool, and I spent every waking hour in that pool in the summer. It was very hot where we lived, and it was just a treat. So that was probably my favorite summer thing. When I was a kid. Thomas says he's enjoyed playing outside with friends. Me too, exploring the woods and the parks in your hometown, finding mountain biking trails. And Holly was a swimmer too, hanging out at the pool and going home tired and happy, yes. The feeling of summer in Atlanta. Wonderful. I actually went to, attended a funeral over the weekend of a dear friend of my dad's, and I grew up with his kids, and they used to come to our house to swim all the time, and that was one of the things that was kind of fun to think back to those days when we were in elementary school and literally could just stay in the pool all day. That's quite fun. And Dimitri has joined us. Hey there, Dimitri, welcome. Glad you're here. I am so glad that, and Janet also, welcome. Glad you're here as well. It's wonderful to see those of you who are new to the program to be able to make it to this live call. I'm grateful that you're here. It's a really important aspect, a really great valuable part of this program is to be able to have your questions answered live. And so a couple things I want to share with you is definitely take advantage of today, take advantage of this time that we have together by asking a question. Number one, I don't want you to feel that any question is foolish or, of something. Every question has probably been asked many times before, but that shouldn't by any means prevent you from asking questions regardless of where you are in the program right now. So don't hesitate to step up and type in a question. And sometimes I find that in this group, people tend to be a little bit shy and aren't quite comfortable. If you prefer to just type a question in and have me answer it, feel free to mention that in the message that you send to me, and I'll go through the slides here step by step so that you understand how that works. Because if I have a question for you, what I'll do is I'll unmute you and bring you on so that we can actually discuss anything that you're questioning or things that you need help with. So just for those of you who are new to the program, don't be shy and let me know if it's something you prefer not to speak. That's quite all right. It's absolutely fine. So we've got a nice Howard. Hey, Howard, I see you've joined. And I think is that Lena is also here. Welcome. I hope I said that right. I like to start, once we get past our fun question, is to start with a win. And I know many of you are brand new to this program, but what we like to do is just, even in the short amount of time that you've been in the B2B Launcher program, I like to hear about what's gone well. And it doesn't have to be something major. It doesn't have to be a huge accomplishment. We like to celebrate everybody's wins here. And so if you would type in a capital W in the chat just before, so that I know that that's what you're referring to, is a capital W, and share something that's gone well since you came into the program. And it can be something, you know, as small as, hey, I got through session one successfully. I was able to complete it. That's a win. I think that this is a program that can be very challenging to folks. And so I really want to hear and see what you have going on, what's going well, and so that we can all celebrate together. So again, I want to encourage you to not be shy and share what you've got going on. And Janet, thanks. First one. On the chat, I'm through section one, working on section two. Great, and welcome. I don't think I saw you come on. So good for you. Section one, I think the first two sessions in this program can be the most challenging because there's a lot of work that you're not used to doing. It's the kind of thinking that you might not be accustomed to and thinking about yourself a little differently. So good for you to get through that and to move on. Thomas says, I've gained a huge boost of confidence seeing my website and website copy come together. I found the Why Me and bio pages the hardest, indeed, to complete. But when I did, I felt really good about what I put together. Congratulations. That's great. And it is, it's a boost of confidence, true, to see it. It's an enormous amount of work. So I congratulate you for putting that first website together. It's a lot of work. Jim, also, my win is just happy to get started on this, super serious about getting B2B freelance going, picked up a second job to make this possible, also finished up session one and probably start on session two tomorrow. Congratulations. Wow. And I love it. Thanks for sharing your enthusiasm and your goal of, you know, really being serious and getting started. And I agree, just joining up for this program is a huge win in my mind, because it means that you do want to take this seriously and make it work. So congrats and good for you. Glad you're, thank you for sharing. Anybody else want to add a win? Go right ahead. I'd love to celebrate with you. And a couple of you have already shared what material you're working on, what section you're in. If anyone on the call has not done that yet, I would love to have you type in capital I. Again, this is just so that we can tell, separate those comments from any other comments you might make. What material you're implementing right now? What are you working on? And what in the program is are you focused on right now? And again, many of you are brand new, so you're in session one, session two. But if you haven't shared anything in the chat yet, please do. Would love to hear about that. I was just talking with someone recently about the fact that I know a lot of folks that come into this program have full-time jobs and they're trying to migrate from a full-time job into freelancing full-time. And I was sharing with someone that I was doing that in the beginning. And oh my gosh, it was probably one of the most challenging things to be doing because I had a full-time job and I was finding clients and starting to write more. And so I was working long days, I was working weekends, it was really crazy. And then I got this double-edged kind of a gift. The company I was working for at the time decided they were downsizing significantly and they laid off the entire sales team, which I was a part of. And so I was, while everyone else was dragging their boxes of stuff out the door with these long, sad faces, I was skipping out the door saying, hallelujah, I have something else to go to. It's already in progress. And I was scared, very scared, because I didn't have enough to cover my expenses at that point. But I just was so happy to be done having to try and do both. It was kind of fun. Kind of a scary time, but a fun time, and it was really great. All right. And Holly says, you've completed the intro section and mulling over the positioning exercises. Take your time with those. and good for you. Holly, definitely take your time. Don't feel like you have to rush through them. It can be challenging. And if you have questions outside of today, feel free to use the Facebook group to post any questions so that we can support you and help you there. Jim says right now, just trying to make sure my positioning statement makes sense with my career background and skills. Yes. Great. And Howard, I understand, yeah, that you had a cycling injury. I think I saw that in Facebook the other day, mostly listening. Well, good for you. I hope you're feeling better. That's no fun. Typing with one hand is it's really a drag. But I hope you're feeling better. All right. We're going to dive right in and get to the question and answer session of our call. And what we ask you to do is keep your question focused and very specific. Type in a Q in the chat so that, again, we know it's a question. And one question per person to start, and then I'll come back around if we have time. And typically we do, but if you have more than one question, please have one at a time. And then, if possible, tell me what maybe one or two things you're thinking about in terms of solutions for yourself. Awesome. And Thomas, thanks for that comment. Positioning was super difficult in your opinion, but he's advising take Ed's advice and don't stay in it too long. And I agree. I wasn't happy with my first draft, but I moved to the website copy session and it really helped to pull my positioning together. Absolutely. So what I don't want is oftentimes people try to rush through the positioning, and there's a reason that this is all set up the way it is. The positioning does help when you start building your website and getting your website copy together, but they do go hand in hand. So I'm glad that the website exercise of actually pulling that copy together helped kind of solidify your positioning. So stay in it just long enough to as Ed says, 80%. You want to be 80% certain that your positioning is where you want to be right now for today to get started. It doesn't have to be 100%. You'll probably never get to 100% certain. But 80% certain is typically what he recommends. All right. So go ahead and type in a capital Q. And if you have a question, and please don't be shy. I did have one pre-submitted, and I'm just going to look here. Oh, and he's not on the call. So I'm going to read it so that you can all, I think. Hold on just a minute. I got to pull this up and I shut it down, not forgetting that I have to read it out loud. So I'm going to read the question to you. And this was a question actually that he asked in the Facebook group as well in the Q&A. It's from Romeo. And he had two questions. And his question, I'm in session 1A. Ed said, was saying that in the beginning, don't present yourself as someone who just focuses on only one type of project because it's too limiting. And he said, I agree. What if the prospect asks me to work on a project that I'm not trained on and the time is short to complete the project? What do I do? And what I had said to Romeo on the Facebook page, in case you missed it, was this is a good problem to have. Honestly, it's exciting to think, okay, I've got a prospect who actually wants me to do some writing for them. So the best thing to do, and if this happens, and you may end up in the same position. I know personally, I was not trained on a lot of things that I ended up writing for. And so I wouldn't let that be a barrier. Try not to let that be a barrier to you as you move forward and start reaching out and talking with prospects. I would suggest that you think about the size of the project, the type of project. And so I'll give you an example. And the example I used for Romeo Online also was a blog. So let's say that they've asked you, I really want you to write some blogs for me, and maybe, you know, that then go on and cross post on social media. Maybe you've never really done that before. That isn't something that is a major project. It's a fairly small project. You learn as you go. When I started in my freelancing career, I actually started out working for an agency, and I was ghostwriting blog articles for 5 different clients of theirs. So I was working behind the scenes. I was writing for 5 very different industries. It was a great experience for me. Not great pay. It was a lot of work. I hadn't really done that kind of work before I got that position. And I know how to write. I was a good writer. I've been a good writer for a while. But blogging is a little bit different. There's a skill to it because of the style of writing being online is a little bit different approach to something a little more traditional and maybe an industry publication. So if it's something fairly small and there's not a huge risk, I would say dive in and run with it. If it's a much bigger project, maybe it's something more significant that you really feel you need some guidance on, there's a couple different ways to handle that. And one I would recommend is to be transparent with the prospect and say, I don't have a lot of experience doing that. Let's say it's a white paper. Maybe it's something a little more significant. However, I would love the opportunity to prove myself. And I would work on this project either at a significant discount or do it pro bono so that you can get that experience. Getting training first is a wonderful idea if you can make that happen, but it's not necessarily reality. That's not necessarily the way business works or life works sometimes I'd love to be trained in everything that I've done for clients before I did them. But honestly, it actually... a lot of times happens in exactly the reverse order, is that you get thrown into a project and you learn as you go. And what I've done to the best of my ability in the past is to, if I've been given a task that I was fortunate enough to get a project that I work that I had not done before, I would do everything I could and work overtime to educate myself and do as much reading. And I know, Romeo, you said this is kind of a short turnaround. So that might not be possible, but ultimately it is your choice as to how comfortable you feel diving in. And I think at this point early on in your freelancing career, probably feels very uncomfortable, but I want you to look at it from the standpoint of, as long as the client knows, if it's, again, a smaller project, just grab it and go for it, do something, and work with them. Either way, you could be honest with the client and say, look, I have limited experience, but I would be willing to do this pro bono or for a discounted rate so that you can get the experience, because that's honestly the best way to learn. So I hope, Romeo, that helps and clarifies a little bit more beyond what I put on Facebook. And then he had a second question. And let me just check here and make sure. So he does have a second question, and I'll come back to that. Because Howard has a question. And Howard says, last part of section 4, I'm really struggling with the starter list of 10 solid prospects. I'm getting almost nothing from the magazine search. I've been following the instructions, not seeing a lot of good content, but nothing pointing to a potential client. All right. And Howard, I am hoping, I'd like to bring you on because I do want to understand a little bit more about your industry before I address this with you. So I am going to unmute you. Hey, Howard, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Hi there.
Great. Hi. By the way, that question I was going to add, it's a courtesy of Dragon, which is something else I probably need to learn this week.
Good. Good, good.
So, getting introduced to that.
So tell me a little bit about your industry, because I don't know what your target market is.
Well, it's a health and wellness industry.
Okay.
So anything, I looked under health magazine, wellness magazine, health and wellness, health and fitness. And I get, I find a magazine and I go to their site and there's blogs and there's articles. The magazine itself has good content, but I can't find anything in the magazine that says, even on the blogs, it seems like they really don't let you know if it was contributed by somewhere else, where it came from.
Right.
So I'm not seeing anyone that I could market to from that, that approach, but that was the one that was featured in session four or specifically mentioned.
Gotcha.
I thought maybe there was something I'm doing wrong, or maybe I'm not looking in the right part of the magazine, or I'm just not sure.
Well, from a magazine perspective, you should definitely look at the editor or the publisher and reach out and have that be your first point of contact if you can find, locate that person.
Well, I'm sorry, but I thought the point of the, I'm not looking at the magazine as a client, or was that the whole point? I thought the idea of looking at the magazine was you would pick up, other businesses who had maybe placed an ad in the magazine.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not seeing any of that. I'm just seeing content from the magazine, but I don't want to write for a magazine.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. I think probably one of the best things to do would be to look for practitioners, perhaps, or different kinds of companies that are in that health and wellness industry, who might have blogs that they need written, or case studies and, you know, articles that might show up in those magazines and publications. I think you have to kind of reverse engineer it and look for, maybe start with looking for connecting with a local chiropractor, for example, or an acupuncturist or something like that, who might want to, maybe a health coach or a diet coach, you know, someone who's a weight loss coach, something like that, and see if you can make some contacts with those kinds of folks, see if you can do some writing for them. That might be an easier way. They're easier to find, first of all, and they're in that, you know, and unless there's a particular part of the health and wellness, because health and wellness is pretty broad, so unless there's a particular part of health and wellness that you really want to focus on, I know you're obviously a cyclist. I don't know if there's something to do with, you know, maybe personal trainers or that kind of thing, to start reaching out to and connecting with some of those kind of people.
Okay. Yeah, I have. That's kind of the route I've been taking more recently.
And definitely consider doing, I believe Ed talks about this, is just to get some pro bono work, just to get your foot in the door, especially if you can find a mid-size organization. Look for physical therapy organizations, you know, maybe that are a little bit bigger. It might have more of a budget to pay you. That would be nice. You know, that kind of thing. So again, thinking about what you're most interested in writing about, targeting those practitioners within, under that health and wellness umbrella.
Yeah, it's just tough. I've been a generalist all my life, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And also somewhat of a loner, so I don't have a lot of connections.
Well, and that's definitely where you want to start using LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm doing that too.
Good, so. Good. LinkedIn's amazing. And that, and for you in particular, you might want to look at going to some local, I don't know how big of a community that you reside in, but you might look to see if there's a good-sized chamber of commerce or an active chamber of commerce or some other business-type networking opportunities that you could go and start meeting people. That's a faith, if you're comfortable doing that, that's a really great way to pick up some initial clients as well.
Yeah, well, I just actually had somebody sent me an invitation, actually my pet sitter, to join Alignable. And I've been getting people contacting me through that.
But oh, great. Great.
We'll see how that works. I mean, that's new to me. I don't want to take too much of your time, but what I'm finding out too, between this, and I'm also actually at the same time, because I thought I would have enough time taking Ed Gandia's course. So I'm, or not Ed Gandia's, but Elise Benin's, where she's got that 21-day program right now. And I thought between you and that, that would give me a good start. But between that and now Alignable and keeping that, you know, it's just, man,
there's a lot to do.
Yeah. Takes a lot of time.
It does. And that's why it's best to pick one and get through it first. Like with Ed's course, you know, is to pick, you know, stick with it. I know you're fairly early in the program, so you definitely want to get through as much of it as you can, so that you can, you know, get this that way, because there's all of this information yet for you to learn and read about in Ed's program that'll address a lot of this stuff. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Definitely. Well, good luck, and don't hesitate to reach out on the Facebook group as well if you need further if you have further questions as things move forward.
Will do.
All right. Good luck. All right. Thanks for that question. Appreciate it. And Holly asked, what is Dragon? Dragon is voice recognition software. It basically, you talk and it writes. So if you're not able to type, and Howard can't because he hurt his hand, so he's only got one hand. He's a one-handed typist, but he can speak into a microphone and the words that he speaks will be typed into a, I believe, a Word document. So that's what Dragon is for those of you who might not know. All right, Thomas, I believe you have a question. I typed in a W, but I think it was a question. I have an IT background and my copy is IT-centric. And I know IT is where the money is, but I'm interested in broadening my field. And I asked this question on Facebook. Should I consider cutting back my IT speak and my web copy to speak to a more general audience? And Howard, he says, Howard, you're in good company. I think that one of the biggest transitions for all of you to make is from that loner mindset into a networker mindset. And for many of you, that might be uncomfortable because it's something you may not have done in your previous previous part of your career. One of the best things you can do is stop thinking like a loner and start thinking like a connector. And one of the things that I have found is incredibly helpful in regards to this, especially in the beginning, is go to lots of these networking events if you can. And even if it's not your favorite thing to do, plan to go to maybe, you know, a couple a month, pick a number and go to them and start introducing yourself, talking to people with the interest of helping them. So who can I connect you with? How can I help you? And kind of take the pressure off of, hey, I want to write for you. Don't necessarily approach it quite that way, but think more about how can I help other people to connect with the resources that they need as well. So sometimes if you go into it with that mindset of I want to help other folks, that can be really useful. And let me just see. Thomas. So one of the things, Thomas, I'm not going to get into too much detail on your question about broadening your website copy, because what I'm going to end up doing, it was submitted, I believe you submitted it for review. I'm going to take a look at it. And until I actually dig in and read it, I'm not going to be able to be super helpful here. So what I'd like to do is I will review it and I'll actually get a recording. I record my review and I go page by page and I will tell you exactly what I'm seeing, what I think could be improved, that kind of thing. So I'm gonna reserve too much commentary here in regards to your background until I actually see what you've got written and where you're headed in terms of what target audience you're going after. But IT is a tremendous background, but I can also understand a lot of folks come into this program and they'll say, geez, I've been in this particular industry for 20 years and I'm burned out. I want to do something, I want to head in a different direction. So what Ed usually recommends is to start in the industry, focus on the target market where you have the most business, you have the most experience and the most network connections, and go from there. And then as you get some momentum in your business, then start to pivot into the area that you would prefer to work in. It just makes it a little bit easier for you because you don't want to have to try and break into a brand new market where you have no connections and no experience at all. I hope that helps. And so I'll be taking a look at your website, Thomas, in the next couple of days. I'm hoping I can get to it tomorrow, honestly. And then you'll have I'll have a chance to read it and you'll have some clearer answers. So, and you're welcome. All right, Jim has a question. Is software technology companies narrow enough to get started? I was thinking of adding educational software on there too. somewhere since I have some research background in that, but I question the profitability of education software and don't want prospects to think I'm only on education. So yes, Jim, I agree with you. I think software and technology companies is definitely narrow enough, especially if it's something that there's a couple of folks that have come into the program and one of Ed's other programs that do the focus on educational software, and it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure how much of a demand there is for writers, how much of an appetite that particular industry has, the educational side, for writers. Do they have a budget? Do they have a need? You know, do they see value in hiring someone with your skills? So software and technology, I think, is perfect to start, because in a very short amount of time, that'll kind of leave you open to reaching out to lots of different businesses, lots of different types of companies, to and try your hand, see what happens, you know, testing the waters, so to speak, where you're out there seeing, okay, well, this, I'm in software, all of a sudden the software really seems to be, I'm getting some momentum. I'm finding that's working for me. Or maybe that you're going to find that it's something you really enjoy. You know, you might start trying a couple different things and realizing, wow, I'm really enjoying working for a software company, writing for software companies or technology companies in particular. But no, I think that's plenty narrow enough to get you started. And as you progress through this and start, get your first client, pick up new clients as you go, that experience will help to shape where you move, where you head moving forward. So, and I can tell you for those of you on the phone and anyone listening to the recording afterwards, I've pivoted in my business probably 3 or 4 times in 6 years. So don't feel this is, you know, coming into this program is the intention is to get you started. And so what you need to do is put a stick in the sand and start here. And that's the approach that I want you to take, is that, you know what, let me get started. Let me start getting some momentum in this and see where it takes me. Because what I found over the course of time is that as I started working with clients, I realized, ew, I really don't like writing that stuff. Or gosh, you know, I'm really not getting paid very much for this work. I really want to go in a different direction. So you pick the place that's going to get you the most, that you can leverage the most today, just to get you started. And then as you move through and a couple months down the road, you realize you're going to start to see a pattern that you either really like or maybe that you don't like so much, and that you can then pivot and say, okay, I'm now software only. And you'll develop that over time. So don't feel like you've got to nail it down again. This isn't about being 100%. If you get to 80% on your positioning and where you want to go, then that's, and who you want to work with, then that's terrific. So Jim, I hope that was helpful. All right, and Holly had a question. And no, there's no silly questions, Holly. Well, I started out the call that way. No. There's no silly questions. All right. She says, I'm new to LinkedIn, and I heard somewhere that if you look around, then people will think you're stalking them. But I think it's an exaggeration. Yes. And people know that networking involves looking around. Just wondering if they will wonder why I'm spying on them, but maybe I'm the only one thinking about it like this, since networking involves looking around and connecting. Is it okay to search around and explore profiles? Is that correct? And they'll know, and is that okay? Oh my goodness, yes, yes, and yes. So LinkedIn is a different animal than, say, Facebook. It was intentionally designed for business professionals. And that's the number one thing you should keep in mind. And second of all, what I like to encourage people to do is think of LinkedIn as a giant networking event. So if you went to a chamber meeting, a big networking meeting at the Chamber of Commerce, what would you do? You'd start reaching out, you'd shake a few hands, exchange business cards. That's what you're there for. You're there to connect with other professionals that you have never met before. LinkedIn, you should take the exact same approach. Think of it as just a giant global networking event. And that's what's so powerful about it. It's really cool. So number one, yes, this isn't stalking, and do yourself a favor and really don't think of it that way. I love seeing who has been looking at my profile, because then that gives me a chance to then turn around and say, is this person a potential client for me? Are they a prospect? And I reach right out to them. If they've looked at my profile, there's a reason. I've come up in a search they've done. Maybe they looked at a post that I shared or a post that I wrote. Maybe there's something there and maybe they're looking. So I always use that as an excuse to then, if I see that they've looked at my profile, I then go to their profile so they can see that I've looked at them. And then I send them a custom invitation that says, I noticed that I liked the article you shared, or I usually, and Ed just talked about this in one of the groups, don't say, hey, I saw you were looking at my profile, because that seems just kind of awkward. What I would recommend is you look at their profile, see what they've shared or commented on, and then focus your meaning. I think it's a meaningful connection. So, hey, I saw that you liked the article about so-and-so, thought we'd benefit from being connected. I also use things like, I see that we have several shared connections, and I thought we'd benefit from being connected as well. So definitely think of LinkedIn as a networking opportunity, or literally reaching out. People are used to it. And unless you're too aggressive, no one's going to mind. And what I mean by that is that we've all had the invitations, or we've all gotten, I think perhaps, maybe you haven't, but I certainly have gotten, as soon as I connect with someone, they immediately start spamming my inbox on LinkedIn with, hey, so I have this great program, and hey, do you know anybody, and hey, can you recommend, and they're just over the top aggressive with trying to sell me or get me to, and I disconnect from people like that. So as long as you're not that crazy over the top aggressive, and that you do this in a way that feels comfortable for you, and understand that you're not going to sell anything the same as you would if you went to a chamber event and you walked up to someone and you got talking and they were really interested. Let's say they said, oh, wow, you know, I've been thinking about bringing a writer on. You're not going to sell them right there on the spot. And the likelihood is pretty low that you're going to sell them while you're shaking their hand. Same approach on LinkedIn. Hey, just wanted to let you know I exist. That's kind of the whole point. And keep me in mind if I can be of help. And that's where you leave it. So you really want to take very much that connect first approach to LinkedIn. And I think you'll have, Ed's got a lot of different trainings on it. I actually recorded a training for him. It's in session 5 of the B2B Launcher program. So you might not be that far, but it explains, I go into great detail to explain all of this in, it's a 2-part training. He's got it broken up into 2 parts, I believe. I explain how the network works and the best ways to approach people and how to follow up and all of that stuff. So there's lots of good information. LinkedIn is just such a powerful place for writers to be, to find clients. So if you haven't had a chance, I strongly recommend that you spend some time learning LinkedIn, spend some time out there, all of that good stuff. Well, I hope that makes you feel a little more comfortable, Holly, and feel free to type in anything else that you might be thinking about. All right, Janet says, in regards to Jim's answer, the answer that I gave him to his question, do I need software and technology, or can it be called software technology? Does it matter? That's a good question, Janet. I think technology could mean either. In my mind, as I think about now, unless you're just working with like SaaS companies, then obviously that's software as a service. And so you're working just with those types of companies or focused on just those types of companies. But as a technology writer, my assumption would be that that would cover software as well. So I don't think you need both unless you're specifically focused on working just with software or just with hardware manufacturers, perhaps, or providers. Someone like, let's say you wanted to work for Dell because they, you know, you want to write for them in regards to their product line, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't get quite as concerned about it if you call yourself a technology, specializing in technology industry. I think that would be fine. And I hope that that answers your question. And please feel free to type and you're welcome. Hopefully that clarifies it for you. I really want to encourage all of you to keep it simple when you're starting out and just, you know, getting your 2 feet on the ground, getting your positioning down. This is about keep it as simple as possible. And sometimes I see people writing a value statement that's really, really long. And we try to encourage you to get it. Don't go too crazy with that. You really want your headline, your value statement to be concise and to the point. And so I can understand why you're grappling with, you know, should I have both words? The only time that would be different, Janet, is from an SEO perspective. So searchability. If you want to come up in search results for software, obviously you would use the word software versus technology. So that would be the only other caveat. The only other thing I would recommend that you consider is how will that impact your website's searchability, as well as your LinkedIn profile's searchability. So you're going to use keywords in your LinkedIn profile as well. And that is probably the best thing to think about. I mean, when you start adding in that search, because you want keywords in your LinkedIn profile, because when you go to, someone goes to Google and types in technology writer, Google doesn't discount anything. It looks at LinkedIn. So your LinkedIn profile potentially could come up in that search result for that person. So definitely want the SEO to overlap. All right. Yep. And Jim, yep, I was thinking technology in terms of any kind of computer hardware or computerized devices. Perfect. So yes, technology would be the right word to use for you. And I just want to go back because Romeo had a second question that he had pre-submitted. And his second question was, can I have more than one target market? So I would like to address that because that's a yes and no question. It's a yes and no answer for that. So in the beginning, I would recommend that you keep it simple, as I just mentioned, and have one target market, unless the target markets that you're thinking about are closely related. So for example, we were talking just a little while ago about health and wellness. So you might be health and wellness specializing in a couple of different areas. So maybe I'm a health and wellness writer specializing in chiropractic care, right? So that's, you could write for almost any kind of health and wellness business, but you really enjoy writing for chiropractors. Maybe that's something that you're just fascinated with and really want to be able to focus on. So yes, you could have two target markets, but if that's the case, you really want them to be very closely related. I wouldn't recommend that you have, I write for health and wellness and attorneys. Well, they really are very different. The search terms are going to be very different. Your keywords that you're going to have on your website and your LinkedIn, the way that you talk to your audience, the way you approach them, very different. So be careful about that. And this is actually a common question that we see coming through from folks that come into this program, because sometimes people come in and they say, geez, you know, I spent the first half of my career in sales, and then I decided to get a degree and I went in to be something completely different. You know, I got out of sales and I was, you know, doing something completely different. Maybe I became a chiropractor or something different. So, and they're not really related to each other. That can be a challenge when it comes to positioning and makes positioning harder. And it's also, it definitely makes it more difficult for someone to understand clearly your value. So I think that picking the one target market to begin with that is strongest for you on all counts, that has a need that is that you have experience in, and that your network, where your network resides primarily, Those are the things that you want to think about is, do they have a need? Do they sell something that's expensive or a large project type of a service or product? And do they have a need? And are they in, and do you have experience? And that really does make a difference to get you off the ground. So Romeo, I know you're not here, but I hope that that helps with clarifying a little bit about that. I would just caution you, within a short amount of time, you'll be able to figure out whether or not you want to expand into a different target market. So I would recommend at first to try and choose the best one and start from there. All right. Holly has a question. As I'm looking at positioning myself, I have a few areas I'm looking at and am interested in. Then today I just thought of another: vacation rental, travel, cruises, etc. We just stayed at an Airbnb condo and the description was incredibly engaging and well-written and helped me decide to stay there. Is this a viable industry to write for, and how do you recommend I go about pursuing writing for this industry? It also seems broad, so I would need to narrow it down. That's a great question. I don't exactly know how Airbnb works. If it is, I assume that it's the owner of the property that writes the description. And maybe perhaps that person just happened to be a good writer and did a good job. I don't have an Airbnb property that I use the software or that particular program only as a consumer. So I'm not 100% sure how that works. My thought is that because it is individuals who post their property, that in particular might not be a great target for you, the actual Airbnb, website, but travel and rental and cruises are, yes, they are a big industry, and it's something that you would definitely want to explore a little bit more. What I would do, and then, your question, I think the biggest question I would have in regards to going, and again, in this direction, vacation rentals, travel, et cetera, is what experience have you had? Aside from being a consumer and being on the consumer side, have you had any other experience in that area? So that would be something to consider. Also, do you have any network connections? Anyone you're in your network that might be in that industry already that could help you to, again, get your business off the ground? So if it's too far removed, I'd really like to write for that, I would reserve that for a later point in your journey, in your business development, your freelancing journey, and start with something that's a little closer to where you have direct industry experience. So for example, maybe I worked for a travel agency for a period of time in my career. That is then a viable industry for you to go and say, look, I was actually in the business. And so that would be attractive to a prospect. And so that's really what you want to think about when you're thinking about your background. Think about who would be impressed by your experience and who would value that experience. And that's usually what I say when I'm reviewing websites is, are the people that you're trying to attract going to find you credible and respectable, if you will, and valuable because of your background? That's what you want. That's kind of an important connection to make in terms of who you're targeting. And so the example I just used, if I was calling on the travel industry and I said on my website, I was a travel agent for X number of years, they would value that, right? These companies would most likely value that. This person is an insider. They know the industry. We want to work with her. So that's what you want to be thinking about is how can you position your experience and your background to an audience that will find that valuable and really be impressed by it. So I hope, Holly, that was helpful. Let me just go back and make sure I didn't miss anyone with questions. And you guys have had great questions today. I am so grateful you're here and asking questions and engaging in this call today. This is terrific. All right. And Holly, I hope that was helpful. If you have further question, type in the chat. I'm happy to even bring you on if you'd like to chat about it a little bit more. But I think it's great. I'm glad it was helpful. I think it's hard. The positioning can be so challenging. I was in the first half of my career, I was in sales, and but I didn't really want to write for, I struggled to find companies to write for. I was like, geez, I don't really want to do this. I don't enjoy it. I was kind of burned out on that. So I ended up writing for small business, which I had a lot more fun doing. For me, that was much more fun. And just because I understood, I had owned a couple of small businesses, and I think that made a big difference. That was something that helped my credibility with my prospects. I had owned three businesses before I got into writing. I'd owned a franchise and I'd owned a small retail shop. And so I understood implicitly, and actually was a business coach for a little while. And so when I got into writing, targeting small business made a lot of sense because I had a ton of experience and background that they would find of value. And so that was just a good place for me to launch, if you will, and get started. All right. Janet has a question. I have an existing freelance website. How much of the samples, blogs, and writing do I leave on the site from old niches and old target markets? I think that you can look at anything that you enjoyed writing and that you feel is really strong, a really strong example of how you write, I think you should use. And you might not use it all, but there may be select pieces that you just think, wow, you know, that was just such a strong piece. Maybe it got a lot of attention for the client that you worked for. Maybe it was particularly effective in terms of, you know, it was an email campaign that went out and got a lot of response for the client. So I think that as long as you position the samples of, these are samples from a different industry, but here were some of the results that I achieved with that. If you can tie some results to what you've written, I think there's nothing wrong with using, maybe you wrote a white paper. If you wrote a white paper or that kind of thing, absolutely. You know, write, just showing those types of samples is powerful, showing that you have experience. But be selective, Janet. I think it's a matter of just deciding, yes, I'm in a different target market now, but showing that you have this kind of experience is important. People do like to see what you've done. And so oftentimes when you're just starting out, having samples is a challenge because you typically don't have samples, any kind of blogs or any other type of writing that you may have done. So I would pick and choose, be selective, take the best ones and the ones that perhaps had the best results and highlight those. And start there. But don't be afraid to use them just because they were from another target market. All right. And Lena says her question, sales and prospecting is very difficult for me. I'm great in helping people and adding value to their problem that needs resolving. So Lena, I'm not sure that I understand what your question is. Is there something in particular that you need help with? Sales and prospecting is a challenge. I understand that. Let me see. And I'm hoping you can come on. I'm going to unmute you, Lena, and hopefully you can shed some more light on that. Are you there, Lena? I put you back on mute. There was a lot of background noise. Lena, if you would just type in the chat and maybe pose your question a little more clearly because I didn't quite fully understand what you were needing help with there. All right. She said, how can I generate clients when sales and prospecting is very difficult? If you would just type in, let me know what industry, what your target market is, and who you are going to be focusing on, that might be helpful. Give me some ideas. So sales and prospecting is difficult because you don't enjoy it or because you're finding it's hard to find people to reach out to. Just give me a little bit more information there in regards to what the challenge is for you and what industry you're calling on. And this is something we see often in regards to folks coming into this program, is that you're not used to having to go out and find your own work a lot of times, if you're depending on the industry you're in or the work you were doing prior to this. Sometimes, especially like folks, I know there's a couple of folks on the call today who are, you know, have an engineering background, and maybe we're in technology and things like that. And that just tends to be, honestly, folks in those industries can be tend more to be introverts. They tend to not be the kind of folks to just reach out and talk to people. They tend to be a little more introverted and a little bit more stoic. And this is probably the biggest challenge in regards to getting into freelancing, is to be able to figure out a way to prospect that you're comfortable with. And there's one thing I can tell you about Ed's program, about the B2B Launcher program, is that I know many of you are fairly new, but if you know Ed at all, you know that his style is not that hard driving sell kind of guy. And so what's appealing for a lot of people when they come into this program, me included, I went through one of his other programs, I think like 4 years ago, and that's how he and I met. And I think that coming in and learning how to position yourself, how to market yourself, how to talk to people in a way that feels comfortable for you, that's the key, is to find out the right combination of things to do. And so for you, Lena, I just saw your extension of the question. You're an extrovert, but still don't feel comfortable asking people about business opportunities. And I think, again, this is for you. I don't know how far along you are in the program, but I would recommend that you move through all of the warm email prospecting modules that are coming up. And I can tell you, let me just take a quick peek here. Email prospecting is session 5. And once you get into session 5 and you start going through that, I think what you'll find is that it's not about making phone calls necessarily, but it's about, again, about connecting. So it's leveraging LinkedIn to make good connections. And again, this is farming, so to speak, and as opposed to hunting. So you're planting seeds. You're getting your name out there. You're just getting started. You're starting to put yourself out there as a resource in writing. And it takes a little bit of time. So email prospecting, warm emails are nice in terms of, it's great because of, again, the way that Ed recommends that you do it. It's not a hard driving approach. It's a more relaxed, I guess, approach to talking with people about what their needs would be. And the other thing I would recommend, Lena, is to think about the fact that people actually need your help. So don't go into this thinking, oh, I've got to try and push my services on someone. That's not the case. There are plenty of people out there who need your help, and they're looking for you. They're looking for someone like you to be able to just plug in and start writing for them. So keep in mind that this isn't, you know, you're not knocking on doors trying to sell encyclopedias to someone who has, you know, no interest in, it's not the same thing. You're reaching out to people who have a need for what you offer. And so that's probably my number one tip in terms of a mindset shift, because it sounds to me like you're, that's your biggest challenge is to kind of get past the, oh, I'm selling them something. No, actually you're not. You're looking to help them. You're looking to help them with a need that they already have. And so the key is to find the people who have the need. And the whole warm email prospecting process is designed to do that, is to get you reaching out to people who already have a need, and that you're starting to connect with people who actually need your help. So a subtle mindset shift there, Lena, to just start thinking about how am I going to help and how do I help people, I think will make it easier for you. And a good analogy, I'm glad that made sense and that resonated for you. So I hope that's helpful. And don't hesitate to come back. Try some different things. And, you know, once you get into, like I said, session 5 is all about the warm email prospecting. I think if you can get through that, then I think that'll be helpful too, because I'm hoping that you're going to find some tools in there that you think, ooh, I can do that. That I'm comfortable with. But I also want you to keep in mind that this isn't intended to be comfortable. It is going to be uncomfortable at times in terms of reaching out to people. It's something that we all, you know, it's a part of freelancing and finding work. But definitely keep in mind that these people need your help. And I hope that makes it a little bit easier for you. All right. We've had some great questions today, and I want to just take a quick pause here. Feel free, if you have a question, to go ahead and type it in. But I'd love to see, because you folks have been really active today and sharing a lot of questions and thoughts in the chat. If you would type in a capital V, I'd love to hear if there's anything in particular that we've talked about so far that has been the most valuable for you on today's call. Give you just a minute to do that. And in the meantime, if you have other questions, don't hesitate to type in a question as well. Still open for that. Janet says, just being connected is very helpful. Absolutely. Thanks for that comment, Janet. I appreciate that. It is, it's this Facebook group, this whole program is really designed to help you feel like you're not alone in your struggle and, you know, in your struggle to get this off the ground, and that many people have gone through it before you. Ed is a master at being able to help you get through some of the more difficult parts of getting your freelancing off the ground. So thanks for sharing that. And Steve, good to see you. Glad you were able to join us. Got your message. Melanie says, hearing that everyone has the same concerns is a good thing to know in this process. Yes, Melanie, very true. All of you are going through the same thing that I've been through at the beginning of my career, the same thing Ed has gone through. And it's just, you know, it's just having a place to voice your questions and have some support is great. Holly says the LinkedIn advice comments about mindset when selling and looking for people who have a need for what I offer. Absolutely. Gosh, it's so important. You know, we're not robocalling here. We're and just taking wild guesses and making hundreds of robocalls, you know, in a day or something like that. This is who out there actually has a need. And I know that I can help them. So it's a good, but subtle mindset shift, but I'm glad that was helpful. Steve says, using this meeting as a touchstone is valuable. I've been away from this process with family distractions. Glad you're here. I'm glad you're able to jump in on the call. Thomas says, Ed's advice to not spend too much time on anything, as well as his advice that making progress on the sessions will build confidence. It's very, very true. Very true. And Howard says, your comments about targeting small business, I've experienced there as well. This gives me another avenue to pursue. Absolutely. You know, what's interesting, Howard, and thank you for that comment. What's interesting about small business is that depending on how small they are, they typically have the need. They don't have time. Maybe it's an owner who has, you know, a handful of employees, and they don't have the time to write, but they know they should. They would love to have a blog. They'd love to have an email newsletter or something like that. Those are the kinds of companies that you can get, connect with and do some pro bono work for. You know, start small, start putting their email newsletter together once a month and try it and see how that goes. And that's incredibly helpful for them. If you do it pro bono agree to say, you know what, I'll do 3 months worth for free. Let's dive in and get you started. And then at that point, you know, after 3 months, let's see where that takes us, that kind of thing. There's lots of different ways to approach this. So don't discount anything. I want you to kind of open your minds to looking at, you know what, maybe I'm a technology writer, but the local, the local dentist needs a newsletter. Get started, do a newsletter for them, you know, or something like that. There's a lot of things that you could do. Obviously you want to stick with what's in your target market, but sometimes just getting a client and getting a chance. I find websites are a great way to get started with small companies. They might need a website refresh. That's an easy thing to do. Their website's already built, but maybe it hasn't been updated in umpteen years, which is common with smaller businesses. That might be a way to do it. Look to see if there's any local companies in your target market. So technology, maybe there's a small shop that does, you know, computer repair, or does, you know, computer support, that kind of thing. See if they need help. It's a great way, again, to just get a little bit of experience under your belt, but also gets the jitters out that oh my gosh, I've never written for anyone before. You're coming into this and maybe it's so new to you that you're feeling nervous about that. I think that doing a pro bono project really helps take the pressure off of yourself, where you're saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to do the best work I can, even though it's pro bono. But it does give you, it's amazing how much confidence that could give you too. So don't discount that. I wouldn't take too many on, because I want you to focus on getting through this program, but take one on, a small project, and see how that goes, because it'll help. It will definitely help you. All right. And exactly, Steve, small companies don't usually work with agencies or anything like that. So they're easy to, and that's why I suggest going to networking events. You know, if you're sitting at maybe having your car serviced at a smaller shop or something like that, is just say, hey, you know, while you're having your car services, talk with the manager and see if they send out any kind of promotions that you might be able to help with, something like that. Maybe holidays are going to be right around the corner. Maybe they want to do some holiday promotions. They want to do a holiday letter or an email blast to their clients, their customer base. You know, start thinking about ways that you could inject yourself into that need and that project. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to put up our last slide here, but if you still have a question, if anybody has another question they've thought of, feel free to pop it in. But at this point, what I'd like to do is ask what your top action item is going to be for the next week. So today's Thursday, the next week or so, what are you going to be focusing on in the program? Or what are you going to be working on? What's your top action item for the coming week? Thomas is working on session 4 and awaiting content review. Hopefully I'll get that to you in the next day or two. Melanie is going to complete session 2 and start session 3. So that's the website development. Good for you. Jim is going to move on to section 2 and turn copy in by next Saturday. Great. A way to set a goal date. It's a good idea. Thomas's and my LinkedIn profile. So the best thing to do with your LinkedIn profile is to start, get your web copy to a place where you're happy with it. And what we usually recommend is that you start with your web copy and that you get your messaging squared away there. And then once you do, then rewrite and update your LinkedIn profile with the copy that you used for your website. So you want it to match. You want that messaging to match. You want it to be exactly the same. So what you call yourself on your website is what you want to call yourself on your LinkedIn profile. I like to say that LinkedIn is, your profile is a mini website of you. So think of it that way. Steve says he wants to get back on track. Web's copy is one writing session away from review and posting. Great. I will look forward to seeing that, Steve. Good luck with that. Janice does update website and work through session 3. Howard is going to finish his list so he can move on to section 5. Thomas, you're very welcome. Yeah, so focus on website first. And once you refine your message there, then take that. And I have a lot of the same language on my profile that I do on my website. And that way people find me. A lot of times people find me first on LinkedIn. People go to LinkedIn to look for professional services help. And so if you've got the right SEO in your LinkedIn and you're going to get found with the right keywords. And it's important that if they look at your profile, that you have a link to your website. When they click on your website, they know immediately they're in the right place because they see the same photo, they see the same language, the same message. It's really important to have that really be consistent across your brand. Holly says, define my positioning, possibly talk to a good friend who's a small business owner who might need her website refreshed. Perfect. Very exciting. That's a great project. Keep us posted on that, Holly. Let us know in the Facebook group if that how that works out for you. Jim, great question. Are websites like Fiverr and Upwork worth pursuing for 1 to 2 clients or not so much? That is a very that's a very personal decision. I can tell you that I have worked on Upwork, and I can't remember what it was called before. It was called Upwork. They just recently changed their name. Fiverr, I've hired people through Fiverr, and Upwork, I've actually worked for that kind of an agency. In the beginning, if you want to do that for the experience, if you're finding that it's hard to get the experience, you want to have some of that, it's a fine place to start, but definitely don't stay there too long. Because what ends up happening is, and if you have any familiarity with Fiverr or Upwork, it's a bidding process. So not only are you out there saying, okay, I do this kind of work. Let's say I write blogs. I write blogs for people. The people who are looking for that service are looking for the lowest bidder. They want to, oftentimes, you know, you're doing work for a fraction of what you would do it for anywhere else. So honestly, it's not a bad place to start. It's just not a place to stay. That would be my my recommendation for those kind of sites is poke around. I did. I've also done, LinkedIn has a ProFinder. You have to have a paid LinkedIn account to be part of ProFinder, but what you can do is set up your profile on LinkedIn. And ProFinder is actually a little bit better, the LinkedIn version, because it's not, Fiverr is, I find is, whew, boy, it's really lowest bidder. And LinkedIn is a little bit different. I've actually gotten 2 clients off of ProFinder in the last, I would say, 1.5 years. So it's not a huge thing, but it's, I reach out to people directly when I see their request come across. I'll search and find them on LinkedIn, and then I send them a message and say, hey, you saw you looking for a writer and let's talk. So the ProFinder is kind of cool. So to take a look at that, if you happen to have a paid version of LinkedIn, you do have to have a paid version, by the way, in order to participate in ProFinder. That's the only downside. So, but it's interesting because you can put in, and if there's a project that someone is looking for a service provider for, if you have registered yourself in ProFinder as that type of service provider, they'll automatically include you in those the opportunity to bid or respond to that project. So long answer for a short question. It's worth it to start. It's not a place to stay. It's the bottom line. All right. Well, great stuff. Great, great questions. Thank you all for participating today. This is what makes this call powerful and valuable for everyone who's here, as well as anyone who's going to be listening to the recording who couldn't actually be here live today. So lots of good questions. They help everyone because everyone, as you can tell, is dealing with some of the same questions and some of the same challenges that you are. So always come to this call ready to jump in and ask any kind of question. Nothing is out of bounds, and don't feel that anything is too trivial or silly to ask, because it's not. When you're new to this, you're going to have a lot of questions, and that's okay. That's why we do this. So I don't see any other questions, so I'm going to wrap us up just a little bit early, but thank you all for being here. Congratulations for being in this program and for sticking with it. I want to encourage you all to focus on it and get through it, because it's really intended to be kind of a short program. I think it's only supposed to be about eight or nine weeks, I think, in length. Some of you end up having to take more time because of things that pull you away from the program. But, you know, stick with it, focus on it. And Ed has an amazing set of information and guidelines in these sessions that I think will be definitely worth the time that you put into them. So I look forward to seeing you all on Facebook. Don't be shy out there. Definitely ask your questions. Ed and I are both on Facebook pretty much every day and looking to support you and answer questions as they come up. So have a great rest of your week, and I'll be seeing everybody on Facebook. Take care, guys.